Welcome to Rumination, the podcast that offers practical solutions to the challenges of our industry. Hi, I'm Chris Gwynn, and today I am absolutely honored to have Dr. Mike Hutchins with us on Rumination. As you know, Mike is globally recognized as an expert for bringing down-to-earth approaches, practical knowledge to the farm level by sifting through research and bringing you, the nutritionists and dairy producers of today, practical knowledge you can apply on your farm. And because of all that work that he's done, he's received numerous awards from the American Dairy Science Association, for example, for his work in applied nutrition, for his work in extension, and most recently, a Distinguished Service Award for his work to the dairy industry of, well, I'll say the world. And as he always likes to say, I bet you a piece of pie. I bet you a piece of pie over the last 16 months, you've heard Mike talk about profitability drivers on dairy. And I tell you what, I bet you another piece of pie, there isn't five people in the audience, five people that haven't heard and enjoyed listening to what Mike has to say and share. So thank you very much. Hey, his most recent initiative, working with the Santa Fe Institute in Brazil, creating a series of practical, knowledge-based, informative dairy training modules, which they're going to translate into numerous languages. Really exciting. So, Mike, thank you very much for joining us on Ruminations. I'm excited to spend the next 15 minutes with you.
Well, Chris, it's a real honor to be invited to be on the program on Ruminations here, sponsored by Jeff Owen. And so I look forward to our interactions as well.
So, Mike, tell me, a small farm boy from Green Bay, Wisconsin, went to University of Wisconsin. And how did you get, talk to the audience about the path that you took to get to who you are today as a globally recognized expert and extension specialist?
Well, Chris, it's kind of fun. We grew up, as you mentioned, a small 70-cow Great Holstein farm in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And back in the 1950s, that was a pretty good-sized farm. Sure, but it kind of instills the love and the excitement of being on dairy farms, and that becomes extremely valuable. I then transferred and went to a community college for a year and went down to Madison to get my degree and got a chance to work in a mastitis lab in the dairy science department and got to meet grad students and professors and said, wow, that's pretty neat what grad students do. And therefore, I got to meet Dr. Jim Crowley and Dr. Dave Dixon, who are really renowned extension specialists, and said, wow, they really got cool jobs. And that kind of got the ball rolling to follow up in that area. Then I had a chance to go to the University of Minnesota for 8 years as extension dairy specialist and coach their judging team. And then a position opened up at the University of Illinois. And therefore, I moved there in 1979. And as we'd say, that's the rest of the story. And that's pretty much where I ended up and completed my career at the University of Illinois. So that's kind of how we went from point A to point B.
Well, that's pretty cool because, you know, I think also at university, you obviously did some pretty good work. You received some university awards and maybe just reminds the people out the audience out there. So you start in a college program and you're inspired and you just want to work hard and there's all, you know, the sky's the limit, right? And so that's a really cool story. So thanks for sharing with us. You talk a lot on different podcasts on YouTube about and at conferences, profitability drivers on dairy operations. And that continues, of course, to be a key area of interest because of the challenge in economics globally. Can you expand on what you feel are some of the key profitability drivers on a dairy today?
You bet, Chris. I'd love to do that. I think I have several that I think are really important today. The first one is looking at a successful transition management and feeding program. This starts the next lactation. It sets up any lactation levels in the herd, a metabolic disorder. So we really got to get that right. That's critical. Number two one is feed efficiency, a term that looks at how effective do your cows convert dry matter to milk production. Another factor that I think is important is, especially with today's economy, and that is I never give up milk. In other words, here in the U.S. Right now, while feed costs are up 20-25%, that's about 12 cents per pound of dry matter, the good cows are going to give me 2 pounds of milk. And that's going to be anywhere from, say, 38 to 42 cents, depending on components. And wow, anytime I can trade a pound of dry matter, 12 cents, for an income of over 40 cents, wow, that's a trade I'm going to make all day long. another one that's happening is focusing on milk components. I think that's going to be important. And milk protein now is really valuable. And I think that's going to stay that way in the world because people want animal protein, be it beef, pork, be it dairy products. Animal protein is going to stay here. And then my last one is one probably would surprise the listeners a little bit, and that's the heifer enterprise. Yeah. Heifer enterprises can be very expensive. And as a result, we have to have the right number of cows. We have technologies now of sex semen, use of beef semen to add value to bull calves as far as that goes. So we look at profitability. Those are the big five I'd come to mind very quickly.
No, absolutely. And as you say, you've talked about this on other YouTube presentations, and they're key things that we can measure. So never give up milk, feed efficiency, heifer enterprise, transition cows, and protein. Absolutely. Thank you for those. So talk to me about more on transition cows. You open up talking about transition cows and obviously how early lactation milk spills in from a successful transition that helps to drive up that milk production. What can you expand a bit more on what we should be doing today on our dairy operations to ensure and enhance transition cow health?
Well, I think one of the key factors is going to be unique diets. We now see close-up diets that have unique characteristics, metabolizable protein. We're now looking at 1,200 grams of metabolizable protein in the close-up diet when we're forming colostrum, and the calf is really taking lots of amino acids away from the cow. Another factor, hopefully we can get on most farms, is what I call a fresh cow philosophy, which allows us to really monitor those cows so the first 10 or 12 days after calving and making sure that they're off to a good start before we move them into a higher production group or category. And this can happen on smaller farms and bigger farms. It's just a matter of getting the right nutrients and adjustments to those feeding, to those animals.
Yeah, you just got to make the effort, right? You got to make the effort to that important group to, even if perhaps it seems a little inconvenient, to make that special pre-fresh, that special post-fresh group.
Exactly right. Because basically it dry matter is changing, the stress of calving, the immune system is changing here. So certainly any nutrients that can help the immune system function properly will get that cow off to a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's when all the challenges happen. Hey, at some of the recent presentations that you've done, you've expanded a bit. So everybody enjoys your producers flock to your meetings to hear Mike Hutchins' top list of feed additives. And we sometimes in our industry like to talk about nutrients, not just additives, but that's okay. That's good. Tell me, you've talked more recently about expanding a bit our understanding of B vitamins and the role that they play in the metabolism and the biology of dairy cows. Could you take a few minutes and expand on your knowledge in that area?
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting area, and there's a lot of unknowns yet to be answered as we go across this. Certainly, we look right now at, for example, a biotin. Biotin is a B vitamin that really can improve milk production and improve genetics or energetics, I should say, and also improve hoof health as far as that goes. We know while choline is not considered a true B vitamin, it's very important, and certainly the rumen-protected choline products have performed extremely well, and we've added them to our list for close-up and fresh cows and early lactation cows in terms of in the feeding program. Niacin, another B vitamin known as B vitamin 3, can be another factor that comes into play, and some of that needs to be rumen protected. That's one of the challenges we have. A folic acid is another B vitamin that will come into play. It has some role in terms of energetics and methionine sparing here in cows, and it's been interesting. We've seen different responses. Older cows tended to respond better than younger cows, and we're not quite sure why, and some of the work coming out of Canada, why that's occurring as well. And then there's B12, and B12 is tied into cobalt and certainly has some effects on the metabolism of propionic acid, which of course becomes a key resource for blood glucose in those early lactation cows. And so the whole B vitamin is kind of a challenging area because we're still struggling to know really what is the requirement in terms terms of levels to be feeding to cows. Number two, well, the rumen microbes supposedly when we went to school made all the B vitamins we need, and we know that's no longer true. We know that we can supplement them as well. And then finally, we know that B vitamins are very quickly destroyed in the rumen. Anywhere some, if you don't have them rumen protected, 60 to 95% of the B vitamins is being fed and never survive the rumen fermentation. So those are really challenges when we look at the feed additive, and especially on the B vitamin side of the equation.
No, thanks for updating the listeners on that key area of research. So then that brings us back to the producers in the audience. You know, they're aching to ask because they haven't been able to sit down in a classroom and listen to you and try and win that piece of pie. Your list of feed ingredients that people should be really considering to meet your objectives of profitability on dairies. And maybe you can expand a bit on how that looks today. And in particular, you mentioned it to the transition and the fresh cow.
Well, certainly we think that's where a lot of the excitement is going to be, or where the real opportunity for a good return on profitability will be feeding these feed additives during this very critical 21 days before calving to 21 days after calving, and then even in early lactation. And we look at the B vitamins, and that's kind of our thrust for today's discussion. Certainly the rumen protected choline is going to be a home run. It's working very, very effectively here, and it increases dry matter intake, increases our profitability, and it maintains good liver function. And certainly that's one of the key factors that we need to have a very healthy liver in our dairy cows. We've added that to our list during that time period specifically. Biotin becomes a bit broader, actually. The research that's been done on levels of milk production has been impressive. Two kilograms of milk is pretty common, which is 4.5 pounds of milk. And of course, at today's price, that's a very good return on investment. So certainly the energetics that biotin brings to it. And of course, now we're starting to look at getting it rumen protected. A lot of the biotin historically has been fed has been the unprotected bites, and we know quite a bit of it's broken down, and now we see new research showing that the rumen protected can really help us in terms of getting the targeted level to the key tissues we're having here in the cow. And niacin, I think we see that kind of as a role in terms of heavy cows. The niacin will reduce the fat mobilization, which then comes through that whole blood NEFA levels and blood levels and liver lipids and factors like that. So certainly we're looking at those as being very targeted here. In some cases, herd specific, other cases just routinely added, like in the biotin and the rumen protected choline products.
That's great. I mean, this is what we need to learn and understand when we're trying to make sure that we meet your key drivers of profitability. So thank you. So take home message for the audience today, for the nutritionists and the dairy producers listening in, what would be the four things you want them to focus on when they're trying to drive profitability on their dairies, and perhaps expand a bit on how B vitamins can help them play a role in that area?
Well, I think our nutritionists and our dairy farmers both have to have a keen ear open. That's what this podcast can do. Kind of what's the new things are coming down the line. What's the new data showing us? And of course, at the 2021 ADSA meetings, which are happening, there was an abstract there that looked at a very large study, looked at the rumen protected B vitamins on a commercial basis here. And pretty impressive because it was a meta-analysis. And for our listeners, a meta-analysis means we're looking at all the data that's been assimilated that really fits together. And then we get the power of the number of cows and the number of farms as far as that goes. And so in this study here, this was conducted from 2005 to 2018. This data was collected. And basically, 13,116 cows ended up qualifying for this analysis. And by qualifying, I mean they had to meet the criteria to be sure that they're being supplemented properly, that they were getting it 14 days before calving, to at least 10 days post calving to make sure we're getting that there. 28 different feeding studies were done, and that was done in 6 different countries. So that included a lot of countries here in the North America and also in South America and in Europe as well. And so it was pretty, Chris, it was pretty impressive to me at least. This meta-analysis said on average we were getting about 2.5 pounds or about a liter pound more milk. And with a meta-analysis, analysis, we can do a statistical analysis, which means what's the probability that this is a real effect? And the probability was 0.0003, which means you have a 97.99% chance that this should happen on your farm as well. So that was impressive to me. Then besides the improvement in milk production, they also could track out animal health and performance. And they looked at culling rates. Culling rates of the first 30 days. That's an important factor in terms of profitability for that cow, because if she has to leave the farm in the first 30 days, I've lost the cow, which is an economic loss, and I've lost that milk production and that given lactation. And there was about a 42% reduction in culling and early lactation in those cows supplemented with the rooter-protected B vitamin products at this point. And if our listeners are wondering, we're looking at 12% in the controls, 7% in the treated animals, which is really a dramatic change as well. They also follow ketosis. And of course, they're monitoring beta hydroxybutyric acid or BHBA, which is referred to here. And again, we saw about a 40% reduction there as well. The controls at 20%, the animals receiving the supplement, 12% numbers there. We then also looked at metritis, mastitis, same thing. We saw some significant improvements. All these are statistically significant, which is the power of this. And of course, it will end up being published in a journal here in probably the next 6 months, because that kind of data will certainly fare very well in our peer-reviewed journals as well. And then the last thing they looked at was getting cows pregnant in the first 100 days and saw about a 10% improvement in pregnancy rates. So that becomes a big factor. So I guess, Chris, all this adds into terms of hitting our points of profitability. More milk and early lactation, getting cows pregnant, healthier transition cows as far as this goes, and certainly would mean we would need fewer heifers on the farm because I'm not culling as many cows. So it really ties it together. And of course, many of my dairymen are saying, well, what's the economics of this? And they did in the paper put together some economics on it and a couple different ways. The benefit to cost ratio was 4-1, which is very favorable, especially during the time of feeding. Anything over 2-1 we consider as a home run. And then if you look at the number of cases, reduction in health challenges, and looking at that and looking at on a 100 calvings, that saving was over $10,000. This meant less treatment for mastitis, less problems in metritis, less culling problems. So, and they used some of the industry standards as well. So I think it kind of wraps up the whole thing, Chris, in terms of saying certainly that strategy can play very nicely into my four components we talked about in profitability, which is going to be a challenge in 2021 with our higher feed prices. And here down in the U.S., some pretty static milk prices. Milk prices are stubborn. The old theory was, yep, Chris, high feed prices make high milk prices, and it doesn't happen. It's not happening this year here in the U.S.
No, it's been a tough go for a number of years, and looking after transition cows and ensuring great starts to lactation is always important. So as you highlight, there are different strategies, feeding cows separately, pre-calving, post-calving, looking at your nutrients that you're using, metabolizable protein, products to improve liver health, B vitamins to drive health and performance along with those strategies is where people should be looking. So we really appreciate you summarizing, sharing that most recent research. So thank you again, Dr. Hutchins, for joining us today on Rumination.
Well, Chris, it's been my pleasure. Hopefully we've imparted some information to challenge people to think, as I say, outside of the box. Keep your eyes and ears wide open as we see a new data and new technologies and new applications in this whole area and trying to maintain our dairy profitability on dairy farms.
Well, you are a great personality in the dairy industry globally to share those messages with us. So we thank you. And I want to also thank the audience, thank them for joining us and listening today. And so that you don't miss your next episode of Rumination Podcast, you can find us on jeffo.ca, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Spotify. This podcast was brought to you by Jeffo Nutrition, Inc., precision nutrition for a growing world. And have a great day.